Jess. I move through the cav, deeper into the crowd of masked faces and writhing bodies. The party's getting wild. I'm pretty sure I spot a couple up against the wall having sex or something close to it. And little way on, a small group doing lines. I wonder if the room full of wine has been locked. I reckon this many people could put quite a dent in those racks of bottles.
Veux-tu un baiser de vampire?
A guy asks me. I see that he's dressed as Dracula in a plasticky cape and some fake fangs. It's almost as crap a costume as my ghost outfit was. Sorry, what? I say, turning towards him.
A vampire's kiss,
he says in English, with a grin.
I asked if you want one.
For a moment, I wonder if he's suggesting we make out. Then I look down and realize he's holding out a glass swimming with bright red liquid. What's in it?
Vodka, grenadine, maybe some Chambord.
He shrugs.
Mostly vodka.
Okay, sure. I could do with some Dutch courage. He hands it over. I take a sip. Jesus, it's even more grim than it looks. The metallic hit of the vodka beneath the syrupy raspberry liqueur. It tastes like something we might have served at the Copacabana, and that's not a good thing. But it's worth it for the vodka, even if I'd really prefer to take it neat. I take another long glug, braced this time for the sweetness.
I've never met you before,
he says, sounding almost more French now he's speaking English.
What's your name?
Jess. You?
Victor. Enchanté.
Thanks. I get straight to the point. Hey, do you know Ben? Benjamin Daniels? From the third floor? He pulls a face.
Non, désolé.
He looks genuinely sorry to have let me down.
I like your accent, he adds. It's cool. You're from London, no?
Yep, I say. It's not exactly true, but then where am I from, really?
And you're a friend of Mimi's?
Yes, I suppose you could say that. As in, I've met her precisely twice, and she's never seemed exactly delighted to see me. But I'm not going to go into particulars. He raises his eyebrows in surprise, and I wonder if I've made some sort of mistake.
It's just, most people here are friends of Camille. No one really knows Mimi. She, how do you say it in English? Keeps herself to herself. Kind of intense, a bit.
He makes a gesture that I take to mean cuckoo. I don't know her that well, I say quickly.
Some people don't get why Camille is friends with Mimi. But I say, you just have to look at Mimi's apartment to know why. Mimi's got rich parents. You know what I'm saying?
He points up towards the apartment.
In this part of town? Seriously expensive. That is some sick crib.
He attempts to do the last two words in a kind of American accent. In other circumstances, I could almost feel sorry for Mimi. That people would assume someone's only friends with you because of your money. That's rough. I mean, it's never a problem I've had to deal with, but still.
So, what are you?
He asks. What? A beat. And then I realise he means my costume. Oh, right. Shit. I look down at my outfit. Jeans, an old bobbly jumper. Well, I was a ghost, But now I'm just an ex-barmaid who's sick of everyone's shit.
Quoi?
He frowns. It's a British thing, I tell him. It might not translate.
Oh, right, he nods. Cool.
An idea hits me. If Camille and Mimi are down here, then no one's up there, in the apartment. I could take a look around. Hey, I say. Victor, could you do me a favour?
Tell me.
I really need to pee, but I don't think there's an, toilette down here. He looks suddenly uncomfortable. Clearly French boys get as embarrassed about such matters as their British counterparts. Could you ask Camille if we can borrow the key to the place? I smile my most winning smile. The one I'd use on the big tippers at the bar. Little hair flip. I'd be so grateful. He grins back.
Bien sûr.
Bingo. Maybe Ben's not the only one with the charm. I sip my drink while I wait. It's growing on me now. Or maybe that's the vodka kicking in. Victor comes back a few minutes later, holds up a key. Amazing, I say, holding out my hand.
I'll come with you,
he says, with a grin. Crap. I wonder what he thinks is going to come out of this. But maybe it helps me look less suspicious if we go together. I follow Victor up out of the cave, up the dark staircase. We take the lift, his suggestion, and we end up pressed against each other, as there's barely room for one person. I can smell his breath, cigarettes and vodka. Not a totally unappealing combination. And he's not bad looking. But too pretty for my liking. You could cut a lemon on his jawline. Besides, he's basically a child. I have a sudden flashback to Nick and me a couple of hours ago on the roof terrace. That moment, after he'd taken the leaf out of my hair, when he didn't move away as quickly as he should have. That snatched piece of time, just before the lights went out, when I was convinced he was going to kiss me. What would have happened if it hadn't suddenly gone dark? If I hadn't gone sneaking into the rest of the apartment and found that photograph? Would we have gone back to his apartment? Fallen into his bed together?
You know, I've always wanted to be with an older woman, Victor says, earnestly, jolting me back into the real world.
Steady on, mate, I think. And besides, I'm only 28. The lift grinds to a halt on the fourth floor. Victor unlocks the door to the apartment. There are a load of bottles and crates of beer stacked in the main room. Must be extra party supplies. Hey, I say, why don't you fix us a couple more drinks while I go and pee? This time, big on the vodka, please. Less of the red stuff. There's a corridor leading off the main room with several doors. The layout reminds me a little of the penthouse flat. Only everything here is more cramped, and instead of original artworks on the walls, there are peeling posters. Cindy Sherman, Centre Pompidou, and a tour list for someone called Dinos. The first room I come to is an absolute tip. The floor scattered with clothes, lace lingerie in bright sorbet colours and shoes, bras and thongs tangled around the sharp points of heels. A dressing table covered in makeup, about 20 mashed lipsticks all missing their lids. The air's so heavily scented with perfume and cigarette smoke, it gives me an instant headache. A huge poster on one wall of Harry Styles in a tutu and, on the opposite, Dua Lipa in a tux. I think of Mimi in her scowl, her jagged, grungy fringe. I'm pretty sure this isn't her vibe. I close the door. The next room has to be Mimi's. Dark walls, big black and white angry prints on the walls. One of a freaky, blank-eyed woman. Lots of serious-looking arty tomes on the bookshelf. A record player with a load of vinyls in a special case next to it. The one on the turntable is by the Yeah Yeah Yeahs. It's Blitz. I creep across to the window. It turns out that Mimi's got a perfect diagonal view into the main living space of Ben's apartment, across the courtyard. I can see his desk, the sofa. Interesting. I think of her dropping her wine glass earlier when I spoke about Ben. She's hiding something. I know it. I open the cupboard, search through drawers of clothes. Nothing to note. It's all so neat, almost anally so. But the problem is, I don't know what I'm looking for. And I suspect I don't have much time before Victor starts wondering why I'm taking so long. I get on my knees and grope around under the bed. My hand connects with what feels like material wrapped around something harder. Wood, maybe. And I just know I've found something significant. I get a hold of the whole lot, pull it towards me. A piece of grey material falls open to reveal a ragged pile of artists' canvases, slashed and torn into pieces. So much mess and chaos compared to the rest of the room. I look more closely at the material they were wrapped in. It's a grey t-shirt with acne on the label, an exact match for the ones in Ben's cupboard. I'm sure it's one of his. It even smells like his cologne. Why has Mimi been keeping her art stuff in one of Ben's t-shirts? More importantly, why has she got one of Ben's t-shirts at all?
Jesse? Victor calls. Are you okay, Jesse?
Shit. It sounds like he's getting closer. I start trying to fit some of the scraps of canvas back together as quickly as I can. It's like doing a really messy jigsaw puzzle. Finally, I've pieced enough pieces of the first one together to see the picture. I stand back. It's a really good likeness. She's even managed to get his smile, which others have called charming, but I'd definitely tell him makes him look like a smarmy git. Here he is, right in front of me. Ben, just as he is in life. Except for one terrible, terrifying difference. I lift a hand to my mouth. His eyes have been removed.
Jesse? Victor calls again. Where to, Jesse?
I fit the next image together, and the next. Jesus, they're all of him. There's even one of him lying down and, Christ alive, that's way more of my brother than I ever needed to see. In every single one, the eyes have been destroyed, punched or torn out with something. I had a feeling Mimi was lying about knowing him the first time I met her. I suspected she was hiding something as soon as her wine glass hit the floor in Sophie Meunier's apartment. But I never expected anything like this. If these are anything to go by, if that nude painting is any clue, she knows Ben very well indeed. And feels strongly enough about him to have done some pretty serious damage to these paintings. Those tears in the fabric could only have been made with something really sharp, or with a lot of force, or both. I stand up, but as I do, a strange thing happens. It's like the whole room tilts with the movement. Whoa. I go to steady myself against the nightstand. I try to blink away the dizziness. I take a step backwards. And it happens again. As I stand, trying to get my balance, it feels like the ground is rolling around under my feet, and everything around me is made of jelly. The walls collapsing inwards. I stagger out of the bedroom, into the corridor. I have to keep a hand out on both sides to stop myself from keeling over. And then Victor appears, at the end of the passage.
Jesse, there you are. Well, what were you doing?
He's walking towards me down the dark corridor. He smiles, and his teeth are very white, just like a real vampire. My only way out is past him. He's blocking my escape. Even with my brain turned to syrup, I know what this is. You don't work in 20 different divey bars and not know what this is. The drink some guys offered to buy you. The freebie that is anything but. I never, ever fall for that shit. What the hell was I thinking? How could I have been so stupid? It's always the pretty ones, the seemingly harmless ones, the so-called nice guys. What the fuck was in that drink, Victor? I ask. And then everything goes black.